Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, I'll just observe this. I think it's worse than any of us thought it was going to be, isn't it? Donald Trump's campaign was coarse, and it was strange, and it was successful. But I'll forgive you if you thought that he would be governing differently, at least in his first 100 days. If you thought that he'd be less churlish or less childish or more trustworthy or more disciplined, I'll forgive you for that because you couldn't imagine it would get any worse. But guess what? It's worse than you and I thought it was going to be. In the same span of 24 hours, he has tweeted about selling beef to China. James Clapper, he suggested there are tapes of his conversations with the former FBI director, and he wondered if the White House should no longer have press briefings. He tweeted that his staff cannot be held to perfect accuracy, that the media is fake, and that there was no collusion with his team and the Russians, and then he retweeted Rosie O'Donnell. Pick one. The conversation about the president's mental well-being used to be just the sort of thing that you resorted to when you were with your closest allies, and nobody took that conversation seriously. But this is just ridiculous. This is unhinged. This is really a weird day. Here's how you know, by the way. I say, gee, John, you're just going on and on there, aren't you? But they cut into the soap operas for this on the major networks. There are men and women and children who love their soap operas. And when you cut in on that, it had better be good, Bucky. And they cut in on it. Senator Dick Durbin is scheduled to join us. And I don't see him on the line right now.
I ran into him in the hallway.
I know he's been in the building.
Kicking myself because I had just read about the tweet this morning from the president. And turned the corner of the hall and there's Senator Durbin. And I didn't ask him at the time. I wish I had. He ended up making news later.
Well, Senator's now on the line. Steve, why don't you ask him?
Senator, I saw you in the hall, and I didn't ask you about President Trump's tweet. What was I thinking? What do you make of it? You're saying you're calling the president now dangerous, which seems to be an increase in the rhetoric. What do you mean by dangerous?
Well, let me tell you where I think the danger is. First, the danger is constitutional. There's growing evidence of efforts to obstruct an investigation that may involve the president's campaign members and perhaps people in the White House. Until the investigation is complete, we just don't know. And here we have the dismissal of James Comey, who was heading up that investigation, number one. The stated reason earlier in the week, the mistreatment of Hillary Clinton, evaporating last night with the Les Holt interview where the president finally said it was all about Russia. That's the reason I got rid of him. And we also have questions that are being raised now about what was said by the attorney general, what's said by the deputy attorney general. What is the next step here? And then the tweets. And the tweets come in. I mean, there's only one way to read the tweets. It's basically saying to Comey, shut up. If you start talking, we've got some tapes that may embarrass you. That's just this far short of intimidation from where I'm sitting.
So is that, in your mind, criminal, or what is that, Senator?
I tell you what, it is raising questions by the hour about the relationship of this president with an ongoing investigation into criminal misconduct. I can't think of another analogy in history short of Watergate. The same thing was occurring. I hope that I'm wrong.
I'm sorry, Senator. If you have aides that will testify that the president fired Comey over the investigation of the Russian allegations because he wanted it stopped, does that constitute obstruction of justice?
It certainly does from where I'm sitting. I mean, this is an ongoing investigation by the FBI, and we know that it's not only into the tactics of the Russians, but any collusion between the Russians and anyone in the United States, including operatives in the Trump campaign. That has been well established, and Comey said as much last week before the Judiciary Committee.
You said dangerous. We're trying to parse the president's words, but I still want to get a read on what you mean when you say that, Senator.
I think it's dangerous in two respects. First, it's constitutionally dangerous. If there's any evidence that an executive of our government is doing anything to obstruct a legitimate, criminal investigation. That is dangerous to our Constitution. And secondly, the danger goes to a larger question. The power of the president involves the president's credibility. This president's credibility is being shaken by him on an hourly basis with statements he made. I mean, think about Rosenstein, Rosenstein, a professional prosecutor who I voted for 2 weeks ago, who was brought in and wrote a memo to create a basis for eliminating or terminating Comey, saying that he mistreated Hillary last year. Within 24 to 36 hours, the president has recanted and said, no, that really wasn't the reason after all. I mean, where is his credibility? And when a president is going to have power in the nation and internationally, his credibility is the first thing you look to.
Senator, Mr. Rosenstein is going to talk to the Senate as a whole behind closed doors, correct?
That's right.
And will we know, will the rest of us, and I know you're going to know then what he says, is that the sort of stuff that you guys and women are going to come out and tell us what he says? Will we know what happened in there?
Unless there is some rule that's established ahead of time about this being confidential or some allusion to the fact that it may be classified, I don't think there's any reason why we would not share the information he gives us.
Everybody's talking about this tweet. James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking them to the press. Is Comey under any obligation not to speak to the press? Doesn't he, as a now private citizen, without breaching national security, have the right to, for instance, answer the question about whether or not he told the president that he's not under investigation? Can't Comey speak freely?
Well, you hit the operative words on national security. That, of course, since this was a counterintelligence investigation by the FBI, it could easily be dealing with classified information. Comey has to draw that line. I think he'll be respectful of the confidentiality of that information, as he should be. But in terms of whether he will cooperate with any request, he may do it voluntarily. It may take a subpoena. He may be testifying under oath. These are unanswered questions because just a couple days ago, he was an official of the government and was going to be testifying in that capacity. Now he's a private individual.
Senator, one of our listeners just texted in and said, when is the Congress going to do something about this?
Well, here's what we're doing. We have the intelligence committees underway. They're doing some work. I'm not the biggest fan of this approach because I served on intelligence, and most of our work's done behind closed doors. Public doesn't get a chance to see it or hear it. Look what happened when we had Sally Yates in this week in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I can tell you, just by the response from my friends and acquaintances across Illinois, they were following this closely, listening to her testimony, sharing with me their opinions. It's part of an open, public, democratic process. An intelligence committee may do this, but in most instances, they don't. So the Senate has a role, and I think it could be a greatly expanded role if, for example, we had a commission that was created that was bipartisan, independent, open, and would initiate an investigation like the 9/11 investigation. At this point, though, the best we could get from the Republican leadership are the Senate and House Intelligence Committee activities.
I only have one last question for you, Senator, then we're going to do the news here, and I'll let you go. We originally asked you to join us and talk a little bit about the president's proclamation yesterday about ensuring the integrity of the elections. What do you think about the integrity of the elections? Should we do more to ensure that voter fraud doesn't sway the vote?
Well, of course. There's no one who's going to defend voter fraud. Now, let's be honest about it. The incidence of voter fraud in America is minimal. Minimal. And when this president makes outrageous, unsubstantiated statements saying that millions of illegal voters were going to the polls, and he cited some professional golfer as his source, who then later denied it. I mean, and now he's going to create a commission? If we're going to have an investigation, let's make sure we do it in a credible, bipartisan, open fashion. I don't want to see people have their votes suppressed, ID requirements being passed, without any clear evidence that we have people who are abusing their right to vote. Where it happens, prosecute it. Where it doesn't happen, for goodness sakes, don't imagine it.
About a half a dozen names have been already announced, and it is bipartisan. There are Democrats on there.
Well, I'm hoping that they have the power to look at not only the possibility and incidence of fraud, but what this voter suppression effort underway across the country is doing to the turnout. You know, in North Carolina, the federal judge stopped their changes in the law and said, with surgical precision, these changes in the law are designed to suppress minority turnout at elections. That, to me, it was a pretty sound condemnation of that activity.
John, may I ask one more? Senator, I know you got to go, but we're just, and you may not be up to speed on this yet, but you know there has been a cyber attack in England, I don't know if in Spain as well. And Politico is reporting this afternoon that the NSA hacking tools that were dumped earlier this year by the Shadow Brokers Group, Wanna Cryptor Toolkit, I think it was called. But anyway, these NSA hacker tools are the ones that have been used in this attack today. I don't know. Do you know anything about that? Can you comment on that?
No, I certainly don't. But I can tell you, I'm not surprised. The cyber war continues every minute of every day. We are under attack. We are defending ourselves, and the people who are after us, as they were during the election campaign from the Russian side, are relentless in the attacks on America, public and private sectors.
Senator, thanks for your time this afternoon. Hopefully you can join us in studio next time you're in the building. It didn't line up today, but we appreciate your time on the phone.
Look forward to it. Thanks.